Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we thank you for leading us and guiding us in the strength of your faith, that we may be obedient servants and overcome the enemies that are in this world. Father, deliver us from evil because of your grace through faith in Jesus Christ, who took away our sins, so that we can be victorious over our enemies. Amen. All right, saints, I'm going to share something with you about how obedience saves from enemies. 1 John 5 and 4 says, "For whatsoever is begotten of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that hath overcome the world, even our faith." There isn't an enemy that can stand before faith. Faith is the way to power. Faith is the way to obedience. Faith in the good news of the gospel is how we overcome sin and come out from under the curse. Jesus became accursed for us. Galatians 2 and 20, the good confession, I believe. "I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Our faith is in Jesus, who took away our sins, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, who delivered us out of the power of darkness, who set us free from the power of Satan, which few believe, and because of that they serve their enemies. This good confession here, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live," is our confession before the enemy and before the Lord and before the angels who fight for us. And Romans 6 and 11 through 13 says, "Even so, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin." Consider it done, in other words, "but alive unto God in Christ Jesus." This is faith. This is how faith works. We give God faith. He gives us the power to be obedient and delivers us from the curse of the enemy. "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body." How do you let not sin reign in your mortal body? Well, go back to the verse before it. "Reckon ye yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus." So, if you obey sin, you also obey the enemies that come against you who administer the curse, that you should obey the lusts thereof. "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lusts thereof." He's telling you, don't do it. Well, some people don't believe they have that choice. But you do when you walk by faith in the good news of the gospel. You do have that choice. You've been given the victory over Satan already. "Be of good cheer. I have already overcome the world," Jesus said. And when he says, "Neither present your members unto sin as instruments of unrighteousness," you have the power to do that if you believe the gospel. If you don't, if you're in one of those just accept Jesus churches, you may not understand the gospel. "But present yourselves unto God as alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Amen. Thank you, Father. I'm going to look at some things, especially in the Old Testament, that point out the blessings and the cursings for obedience. And, of course, the curse is that we're going to serve our enemies if we're disobedient. There are many Christians who are disobedient because they don't understand the gospel and they don't have the power to obey and they don't understand why. And they fall under condemnation, or they make self-justifying doctrines, like once saved, always saved, so they don't have to obey. Well, the good news is you can obey through faith in Jesus Christ. And if you don't, you will serve the enemies and you will come under the curse. I'm going to start in Genesis 22:15 through 17. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham a second time out of heaven, and said, By myself have I sworn, says the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heavens, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. All right, well, we know that the Apostle Paul in Romans told us very plainly that we're all sons of Abraham through faith. That is, when we walk in his steps, we become his spiritual son, and we're sons of Abraham through faith. And we have the blessings of Abraham because Jesus became accursed for us that we might have Abraham's blessings. So God's going to multiply the seed of Abraham even in this New Testament because we're only that seed through faith. And he's going to give us deliverance over our enemies, he says. And Genesis 49, 8 through 10 says, Judah, thee shall thy brethren praise. Thy hand shall be on the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's sons shall bow down before thee. Judah was the one who went first in warfare. Judah means praise. Praise is a language of faith. It's an attitude of faith. Praise is to brag on God and what he's done. Praise is giving victory before you even see it. We always celebrate the victory in Christ, right? Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stoopeth down, he coucheth as a lion, and as a lioness, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the obedience of the peoples be. Yes, you know, those who are first are those who have faith in God, who give praise unto God. Praise ye the Lord. It means to brag on the Lord. To brag on what he's done. Praise him for what he's done. He's already given us the victory. He's already crucified the old man. He's already delivered us from sin. He's already healed our bodies. It's all done. And this gives us victory over our enemies. Exodus 23:20-30. So, behold, I send an angel before thee. Do you know that we've all got an angel before us? There are ministering spirits that are sent forth to those that inherit salvation. And each one of us has at least one, sometimes several, angels. He says, I send my angel before thee to keep thee by the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. You know, the Lord is bringing us to our own spiritual promised land. He's promised us the victory in this land over our carnal enemies who have ruled over this land that we call this natural life. He's given us the victory, sending us in there. Take the sword of the word, and as the Israelites did, and go in and take out the enemy and possess the land. He said, take ye heed before him, that is the angel, and hearken unto his voice, and provoke him not. You know that angels are perfect prophets. They speak to you with the voice of the Lord. And they speak into your conscience. Not only does the word of God speak to you clearly, as we're seeing right now, but those angels speak to you. And they are there to lead you to your spiritual promised land. For he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed hearken unto his voice, and do all that I speak, this could be both what is spoken to you from the Lord. Many people say that the Lord said this, the Lord said that, and they're quite right, but most often it's an angel speaking to them with the voice of the Lord. And if we obey not only the voice of the angel or the Lord through the angel, but also the word of God, which has already been spoken through the angels, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies. This is what we need. And an adversary unto thine adversaries. Now, we've already talked about quite a bit about how adversaries or enemies are there to crucify our flesh. And we're to cooperate with that. But there comes a time when you've overcome in the trials that you've done that you turn and you exercise your authority over them. In fact, you can do that from the very beginning, exercise your authority over them. And God will hear. There's not a lack of trials out there to bring you into maturity and perfection. That's what they're for. For mine angel shall go before thee, and bring thee in unto the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Canaanite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them. That's the demons are their gods, you know, according to Paul. Nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and break in pieces their pillars. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall none cast her young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill, and I will send my terror before thee, and will discomfit all the people whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. Yes, amen. Well, we thank you for that, Father. We trust you, and we thank you for the obedience that you put into our hearts so that we can have these blessings. And I will send the hornet before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. So the Lord doesn't want us to be lifted up in our pride, in our beauty, or in what God has done in our life. The beasts, of course, is the old man, or the corporate bodies of old men out there that Daniel spoke about, each one of those beasts that came against God's people. He sent those beasts against his people when they were disobedient, when they did not pay attention to his word. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word. When we pay attention to his word, he will put faith in our hearts. And by little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. Yes, our enemies are already conquered. The old man is already crucified, nailed to the cross with Jesus. And we should believe that. Those that don't believe that they can overcome sin don't know the gospel. They don't know it. They haven't read their book. They're listening to their preachers. I'm telling you, you need to go and get into your book and find out what it says, because God will give you the victory over your enemies. Leviticus 26, 3 through 9. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then will I give your rains in their season. Of course, this is what brings forth the fruit, you know, in your life. And the land shall yield its increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. And you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will cause evil beasts to cease out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. Again, this has a double meaning. Obviously, the Christianity in America has been conquered by the beast, and by the grace of God, And through prayers of faith, God is giving us a reprieve through what's going on right now. But even more than this, we are the promised land. We are the tilled land, Paul said. And the seed that's sown in us is going to bring forth the fruit of Jesus Christ. And we can conquer the enemies, the fleshly enemies in our land, by the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and by faith. And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall chase 10,000. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. And I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and will establish my covenant with you. Good promises. And we especially can partake of these promises because we, by faith through grace, receive the power to be obedient. Many of them fell in the wilderness because they didn't pay attention to the promise, but we have promises that are greater in scope, and we have a better covenant based on better promises today. Leviticus 26:14 through 25 says this, "But if you will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall reject my statutes, and if your soul abhor mine ordinances, so that you will not do all my commandments, but break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will appoint terror over you." Well, I'm telling you, terror is coming in many different ways in this country because of apostate Christianity who does not believe that they need to obey. Those that do obey will escape, and those that don't will not. And those that have faith will escape because they will have obedience. Faith without works is dead, the Bible says. If a person's got faith, they will have power over sin. If they don't, they will fail. If they pay attention to the promises and exercise faith to be obedient to the promises and to receive the faith of the promises, then they will overcome their enemies. He said, "I will appoint terror over you, even consumption and fever, that shall consume the eyes and make the soul to pine away. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be smitten before your enemies. And they that hate you shall rule over you, and you shall flee when none pursueth. And if you will not forget for these things, hearken unto me, then I will chastise you 7 times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power. And I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain. And for your land shall not yield its increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruit." Many fruitless people out there who are living under curses because of the evil of their doings, because they rebelled against the word of the Lord. And verse 21 says, "And if you walk contrary unto me, I will not hearken unto and will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins." God just keeps turning up the heat on the wicked, one curse after another, until they're willing to repent and turn and be obedient to God. "And I will send the beast of the field among you." The field is the world, and the beasts, you know, the beasts are the congregate peoples of nations and of empires that always fought against God's people, "which shall rob you of your children," and that's happened too, "and destroyed your cattle and made you few in number, and your ways shall become desolate. And if by these things you will not be reformed unto me, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you, and I will smite you, even I, 7 times for your sins. and I will bring a sword upon you. That's execute the vengeance of the covenant. And you shall be gathered together within your cities, and I will send the pestilence among you. We've spoken much about the pestilence that God is going to send through the deep state to come against the apostate people of God. Many are going to die, and it's because of disobedience to the word. They're very submissive to their religion, but their religion was created to so that they would not have to give up their life in order to gain their life, basically. And you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. Well, we're going to see this. Leviticus 26:32-44. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies that dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And you will I scatter among the nations, and I will draw out the sword after you. And your land shall be a desolation, and your cities shall be a waste. Then shall the land enjoy its Sabbaths, as long as it lieth desolate, and ye are in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy its Sabbaths. In other words, in their land, they did not cease from their works. They brought a curse upon their land. God sent an enemy to take them into captivity. Then they lived in the enemy's lands. They were taken into Babylonish captivity, much like many Christians are today. They're not dwelling on the promises of God. They're not standing by faith. The just shall live by faith. They are not doing these things. They're out of their land. They're in the enemy's land. They're conquered and ruled over by the man of flesh. They're ruled over by their flesh as they were in Egypt before baptized in the Red Sea when the old man died and they came up out of the Red Sea to go into the wilderness, right? The old man ruled over them. He said, don't ever go back that way. But many have done that. Many are living under the flesh and not under the spirit. But the land is enjoying its Sabbaths, rest, the land of rest, the land of milk and honey, because they've been driven out. And of course, they bring a curse upon the land. And so they've been driven out, and they don't even know it. But they're driven out. They're in the enemy's land. They're not partaking of the promises. 35. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall have rest, even the rest which it had not in your Sabbaths when you dwelt upon it. That's because they weren't keeping their spiritual Sabbath, which is the resting from their own works. The land was continually under the curse because of the people that lived upon it. And spiritually, their own land that they're supposed to be conquering, you know, with the sword of the Spirit, their own land is not being conquered and is under the power of the old man. And the enemies are winning, right? And as for them that are left of you, I will send a faintness into their heart in the lands of their enemies, and the sound of a driven leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee, as one fleeth from the sword. And they shall fall when none pursueth, and they shall stumble one upon another, as it were, before the sword, and when none pursueth, and yet shall have no power to stand before your enemies. So the Lord gives power to stand before the enemies. And many are being driven out of the land, even as we speak. And in the years past, they've been driven out of their promised land, and the land of milk and honey, the land of fruit, they've been driven out because they have no faith and repentance towards God. We're commanded to repent and believe, and all they want to do is accept. Well, the Lord doesn't accept us if we don't repent and believe. And you shall perish among the nations, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And you know people like this. You know Christians like this, constantly under a curse. They're not bearing the fruit of Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible. They've disobeyed and they've been driven out. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands, and also in the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. They shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers in their trespass, which they trespassed against me, and also that because they walk contrary unto me, I also walked contrary unto them, and brought them into the land of their enemies. And if then their uncircumcised heart be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. The land also shall be left by them, and shall enjoy its Sabbaths while it lieth desolate without them. And they shall accept the punishment of their iniquity, because they rejected mine ordinances, and their soul abhorreth my statutes. You know, in many of the churches, they're accustomed to ignoring a lot of verses. And this all brings us under the curse. The way out from under the curse is to be obedient, and the way to be obedient is to walk by faith and live the crucified life, where you're intent on denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Jesus. And obedience to the word is a cross. It crucifies the old man, because you're walking after the Spirit. And yet, for all that, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not reject them, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. Yes, the Lord has brought us into the people of God, into the end of the enemies for a purpose. And the purpose is crucifixion of the old life, the old mind of the flesh, etc. And when we hear and obey, he brings us out. We've seen, over the years, many people taken into captivity, and they're living under curses that they brought upon themselves. Their enemies have conquered them, and yet they don't even know they're conquered. They think it's the normal life, a normal Christian life that they're living, but they're conquered. They don't walk as Jesus walked, nor be obedient to his word, and he's brought curses after curses, as we've already seen here. Numbers 10 and 9 says, "And when you go to war in your land against the adversary that oppresseth you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets." Well, you know what the trumpets are. The trumpets, spiritually, is what turns breath into a voice heard by others and by many. It turns breath into that which is heard. And that breath is the Spirit. The Spirit is being heard from them. And this is a victory that overcomes the world, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation through those promises that we proclaim. We receive victory by speaking according to the promises and speaking the truth that we've been crucified with Christ and we don't live anymore, but Christ lives in us. We receive victory in this way. That's what a trumpet represents. "And you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies." How awesome. And Numbers 10, 33 through 35. "And they set forward from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them." You don't go anywhere unless the ark of the covenant of the Lord goes before you. Because if you're not led of the Spirit, you're under the flesh. And if we walk after the Spirit, we're not under the curse of this world. "And went before them 3 days' journey to seek out a resting place for them." This is what the Holy Spirit does for us, is he leads us towards the resting place, a resting from our own works to do his works. "And the cloud of the Lord was over them by day when they set forward from the camp. And it came to pass when the ark set forward, that Moses said, Rise up, O Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. So if the Spirit of God leads the way, we're going to have victory before our enemies. If we walk after the flesh, we must die. But if by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the body, we shall live. And so that's obedience, putting to death the deeds of the body and walking after the Spirit, being obedient to the Word of God. This is where obedience comes from. Thank you for the victory, Lord. Thank you. Also, Numbers 14:26-45. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation that murmurs against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As I live, says the Lord, surely as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. O Lord, listen to what he's saying. Be it unto you according to your faith. As you have believed, so shall it be unto you. How is your faith pronounced? It's through your mouth, your confession, right? The good confession in the sight of many witnesses gives us the victory. But the Lord is saying, As you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. Many times people agree with the curse. They agree with the very opposite of what the Bible says. And when they do, they bring the curse upon them because they're not being obedient to the word of the Lord and not speaking the word of the Lord. Your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness. Well, they said that was what they said would happen. They said that. They confessed that first. Your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, that have murmured against me. Surely you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear that I would make you to dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones that you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have rejected. So their fruit went in, but they did not, and it was because of rebellion. Joshua and Caleb entered in with their fruit. And they're a type of those that are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, because they entered in their body. And the others had to die so that only their fruit could enter in. And so, you know, there is a victory over the enemy where he can't even conquer you in the flesh. He will lose the battle every time. But as for you, your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall be wanderers in the wilderness 40 years, and shall bear your whoredoms. See, it's a sad thing, but our children bear our whoredoms. You know, they have been taught by us to walk after idols and, idolatrous systems and men. They've been taught this way. And they're sacrificing their children unto Satan. They're sacrificing their children for the fire, as the Bible says. Until your dead bodies be consumed in the wilderness, and after the number of the days in which you spied out the land, even 40 days, for every day a year shall you bear your iniquities. Some people think that when you sin, you just automatically get out of the penalty of it, but it's not so. If you sin willfully, you get a spanking. And when the spanking's over, yes, you can come out into the blessing if you're walking by faith, right? Even 40 years, and you shall know my alienation. And I, the Lord, have spoken. Surely this will I do unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men of whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up an evil report against the land And by the way, they're still bringing up the evil report. These were the heads of their houses. And they brought the evil report that the land couldn't be taken. The lying preachers are still doing the same thing. The land cannot be taken. Not only this physical land around us, but this spiritual land that we walk in. You know, the land that has drunk the rain, as Paul spoke it. The rain of the Word of God. You're responsible when you read the Word of God to be obedient, to exercise faith in it, to enter in to that promise. And when you do, you are in the promised land. Even those men that did bring up an evil report of the land died by the plague before the Lord. Many will die by the plague before the Lord, I tell you, in Jesus' name. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh remained alive of those men that went to spy out the land. And Moses told these words unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning, and they got them up to the top of the mountain, saying, Lo, we are here, and will go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, Wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord, seeing it shall not prosper? Go not up, for the Lord is not among you. If you go, the Lord has to be among you. The Holy Spirit must be leading you, right? If you go up against your enemies. And if you're walking in sin, you don't have that right. You know, if you're walking in sin, you go against your enemies, you lose. That you be not smitten down before your enemies, for there the Amalekite and the Canaanite are before you, and you shall fall by the sword, because you are turned back from following the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up to the top of the mountain. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Well, if Moses wasn't before them, he was ordained to be before them. And if the Ark of the Covenant was not before them, they would not be successful. Then the Amalekite came down, and the Canaanite who dwelt in that mountain, and smote them and beat them down even unto Hormah. Yes. Numbers 23:5-12. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, Return unto Balak, and thus shalt thou speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he was standing by his burnt offering, he and all the princes of Moab. They were come because they were afraid of Israel. And he took up his parable and said, For from Aram hath Balak brought me, the king of Moab, from the mountains of the east. Come, curse me Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? How shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, it is a people that dwell alone. They're separate, they're sanctified, you know, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, or number the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And Balak said unto Balaam, What hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. And he answered and said, Must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord putteth in my mouth? Now, you know, there's many curses coming upon the people of God, and they're all pronounced by the Word of God. It doesn't matter that God uses vessels of dishonor to bring them to pass. They're all spoken already in the Word of God. If we add to the words of the book, he'll add to us the curses that are in the book, right? If we take away from the words of the book, then he'll take away our part from the tree of life. So the curses are already spoken. And, you know, the people, even in ignorance, and though they walk by faith, they are justified before God. And the thing is that when people come against them to curse them, it has no effect. It has no ability to curse the obedient people. The curse that is causeless alighteth not. And many people live in witchcraft and try to send curses against you, and it fails. And of course, every trap that they lay comes upon them, and they don't realize that they're doing it to themselves. They're trying to curse the people of God who are being obedient, and they are not. And Numbers 24:10-18 says, "And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I call thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. And Balaam said unto Balak, Spake I not also to thy messengers that thou sendest unto me, saying, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord to do either good or bad of mine own mind. What the Lord speaketh, that will I speak. And now, behold, I go unto my people. Come, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days." And of course, you know, Ammon and Moab, they separated from the people of God. They were kinfolk to them, but they separated from them and factioned against them. And it brought a curse upon them. And he took up this parable and said, "Balaam the son of Beor saith, And the man whose eye was closed saith, He saith, Who heareth the words of God, and knoweth the knowledge of the Most High? Who seeth the vision of the Almighty, falling down and having his eyes opened?" Balaam had his eyes opened. "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not nigh. There shall come forth a star out of Jacob," or Israel, "and a scepter shall arise out of Israel," the authority, right, dominion, "and shall smite through the corners of Moab." Yes, they'll take down their factious brethren, right, "and break down all the sons of tumult. And Edom shall be a possession." Edom, of course, is we've received from the Lord many, many times, represents the faction, right? "Shall be a possession. Sir also shall be a possession, who were his enemies, while Israel doeth valiantly." Amen. Lord, we thank you for the victory over the enemies, Lord. In Jesus' name. Deuteronomy 1:41-45 says, "Then you answered and said unto me, We have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight according to all that the Lord our God commanded us. And you girded on every man his weapons of war and were forward to go up into the hill country. And the Lord said unto me, Say unto them, Go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest you be smitten before your enemies. So I spoke unto you, and you hearkened not, but you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and were presumptuous, and went up into the hill country. And the Amorites that dwell in the hill country came out against you, and chased you as bees do, and beat you down in Sur, even unto Hormah. And you, and you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord hearkened not to your voice, nor gave ear unto you." Many people think that they are in right standing with the Lord because it's what their church has told them. But they haven't taken the time to study the Word and to find out what they're really supposed to be doing. They put their trust in man, and that's a dangerous thing. They're presumptuous, and they're going to fail before the enemy. And the enemy is everywhere. The enemy is not only the demon spirits that hate Christians and want to destroy them at any cost, and but also the people who are submitted to those demons. And our country was taken over by Satanists, and it's now, by the grace of God, being taken back through grace and through faith. And this will last for a little while, but there's physical judgments coming, and there's judgments coming to the apostate church through the works of the deep state, and because they are not obedient. Now, there is a piece of people who are being obedient, who are going to be blessed through this whole thing. And you mark my words, you will see, and God will show who are his people, who are his servants. In Deuteronomy 20, 1 through 4, when thou goest forth to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and people more than thou, thou shalt not be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, who brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. You know, God's people won many battles where they were greatly outnumbered. It made no difference as long as they were serving God, when they were serving God. And if they weren't serving God, it didn't matter if they were in the majority, they were still going to lose. And it shall be that when you draw nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, you draw nigh this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint, fear not, nor tremble, neither be ye affrighted at them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies and to save you. Amen. When your conscience is clean, you have boldness towards God, the scripture says, right? And that's what we need, boldness towards God, to have that faith that the Lord will lead us and the Lord will guide us and he will deliver us from our enemies. Deuteronomy 23 and 9 says, When thou goest forth in camp against thine enemies, then thou shalt keep thee from every evil thing. You going against your enemies, you must repent. You must confess your sins so that you have victory before God. And also down in 14, For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he may not see an unclean thing in thee and turn away from thee. At what time? in the face of their enemies. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14 says, And it shall come to pass, if thou wilt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all of his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. He'll give them victory over their enemies. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou wilt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shalt thou be, shalt be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy beasts, the increase of thy cattle, and the young of thy flock. Blessed shalt thou be thy basket, and thy kneading trough. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord will cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thee. They shall come out against thee one way and shall flee before thee seven ways. So if you, what was that? If thou wilt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And the Lord will command a blessing upon thee in thy barns and in all that thou puttest thy hand unto. This is their livelihood, their economy, all these things, right? And he will bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord will establish thee for a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee. if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord will make thee plenteous for good in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord will open unto thee his good treasure, the heavens, and will give the rain of thy land in its season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord will make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou shalt hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them, and shalt not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods and to serve them. Amen. And of course, 15 through 25, he says, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, cursed shalt thou be in the field, cursed shalt thy be thy basket and thy kneading trough. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of the ground, and the increase of thy cattle, and the young of thy flock. Cursed shalt be thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord will send upon thee cursing, discomfiture, and rebuke. So, we notice that the curse that is causeless alighteth not. And when it comes for a purpose, comes for a reason. And obedience is the best way out from under the curse. Yes, you'll be tested with the curse, but you don't have to accept it. And you have authority to go against the old man of the land when you're walking by obedience and faith. And but when you're not, you have no authority. It's going to take you where you're going to go. And in all that thou puttest thy hand unto to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly because of the evil of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord will make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he have consumed thee from off of the land, whither thou goest in to possess it. The Lord will smite thee with consumption, and with fever, and with inflammation, and with fiery heat, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron, meaning, of course, your prayers won't be heard. And the Lord will make the rain of thy land powder and dust, from heaven shall it come down upon thee, until thou be destroyed. The Lord will cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies, and thou shalt go out one way against them, and shall flee seven ways before them. And thou shalt be tossed to and fro from among all the kingdoms of the earth. Well, you know, not one jot or tittle is going to pass away from the law until it's all fulfilled. These curses are coming. And, but there is a people on which they are not coming. I mean, because each of these promises, blessings, and cursings have the people that they are created for. And we know that this is going to cause a lot of people to wake up and depart from their foolish religious ways and begin to serve the Lord and begin to believe the Bible and be obedient to it. Deuteronomy 28:47-53 says, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, by reason of the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies that the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst, and in nakedness and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord will bring a nation against thee from afar and from the ends of the earth, as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, that shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young, and shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy ground until thou be destroyed, that also shall not leave thee grain, new wine, or oil, the increase of thy cattle or the young of thy flock, until they have caused thee to perish. And they shall besiege thee in all thy gates until thy high and fortified walls come down, wherein thou trustest. Throughout all thy land they shall besiege thee in all thy gates, throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, and the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, whom the Lord thy God hath given thee, in the siege and in the distress wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. You know, there are enemies in this land who are practicing to make war against it. They're very vocal about it, and they will do it. And yes, they will ultimately meet with failure, but not before they've done what they're supposed to do, and that is chasten the apostate church who doesn't think that it needs to obey God's word. And Father, we ask you in Jesus' name to put your faith in us, your gift of faith in us, and boldness to have a desire and a heart to be obedient to your word and to follow your Holy Spirit through these things that are coming. We thank you for the victory you've given us over the enemies, Lord, and we believe in you and put our trust in you. We have a Passover lamb. We've eaten all of the lamb. We believe all of your word, and we thank you for the victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Father, we ask you to bless Michael Hare, who's coming to share a word too. Ask you to pour out your spirit upon him and bless him mightily, and also the brethren that join him. And we thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. We thank you for this awesome time that we have to study your word and seek to be in right alignment with you so that we can have the blessings, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, saints.